In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. In today's gospel lesson, we find Jesus getting into a conflict over two acts, both done on the Sabbath. First, Jesus and the disciples pick some grain on the Sabbath out of a field when they're hungry. Then Jesus heals a man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. The main lesson of these two stories is a warning of how religious rules and customs can take on a life of their own. Rules can become the focus, that religious traditions can actually hinder the love and grace of God if we let them, and that the rule can become a false god itself. And we've talked several times in the past year about rules versus principles, about law versus love. So I'd like to change gears a little bit today and pull a few other lessons from our story, and in particular of Jesus healing the man with the withered hand. Now, the fact that Luke specifically mentions it was his right hand that was withered is to emphasize that it was his dominant hand, what should have been his hand of strength. Us lefties can imagine it being our left hand, if that helps. If each of us were to stop and think what our dominant hand does in a week or even a day, it might clarify just how powerful this healing is, and maybe increase the gratitude we owe for something as simple as God's gift of our very hands. In youth group this past week, we talked about this very story, about this healing. And as part of our discussion, we each traced our hand on a piece of paper and filled it in with things that our hand had done in the past week. We ended up with a result something like this. Each kid and the priest each ended up with one of those. We filled it up pretty fast. Kids were scribbling as fast as they could. It did not take long to come up with a number of things that we do with our hands, tasks, actions, and accomplishments. And this one was mine. I'll give you just seven of mine from my drawing. Make a snowball, open a box, distribute communion, clip fingernails, try doing that with one hand, grab my head. That was during the Packers game last week. Hug Michelle. Text my cousin. Those are seven things. I have like at least 40 in here. And even that's merely a sampling of what a hand does in a week's time. You could all try this at home today. It's a perfect project for an afternoon. Trace your hand and start writing down all the things you can think of that you've done in the past week. It really opens up not only the floodgates of gratitude for this simple yet amazing gift of our hand, it also should shed some light on just what Jesus gave to the man in the synagogue when he healed that hand. Now, being down one hand is not only a lesson in gratitude, but of cooperation. Another youth group activity we did this week was we undecorated and took down and took out the church Christmas tree. Sounds simple enough, but we did it with our dominant hand stuffed in our pocket. We had to do it one-handed. You want to talk about cooperation? Get a bunch of teenagers to take down Christmas lights and wrap them up and then take a tree out one-handed with other one-handed people. That's cooperation for you. And think of how much the man in the gospel must have relied on cooperation with others just to accomplish simple daily tasks. And this is in days before light switches and automatic doors and Velcro. You know, this is when everything was hard. The most menial of many tasks would have required the cooperation of others. And if you want this gospel lesson to become just that much more alive in your heart, when you get home today, or maybe next time you're with a friend, stuff your dominant hand into your pocket and do a task together. Seriously, you got to try it. It'll not only help this gospel lesson come more alive, you will increase gratitude and you will improve cooperation. And you may have your patience tested, which is the third lesson I'd like to consider. The man with the withered hand is an icon of patience. And more than just the kind of patience when someone's irritating you or something's not going right and you feel impatient. Although I'm sure he had plenty of those moments too. But for our lesson, I'd like to consider a bigger kind of patience. A patience lasting years. A patience with life itself. A patience even with God. The kind of patience we might see with the woman, you remember the gospel story, who had the bad back for 18 years. The kind of patience with a man who was paralyzed by the pool 38 years. Here is a man who not only had the use of just one hand his whole life, but the unusable hand, the withered hand, was there all along as a constant reminder. It was there, but it didn't work, almost as like a poetic mockery. He obviously managed to get along, but at what cost? You know, at what personal price? We don't know. I call him an icon of patience because in spite of his handicap, where does Jesus find him? But in the synagogue. Still worshiping the God he had undoubtedly questioned many, many times over the years. This is a different level of patience and one worth aspiring to. So you have some homework for this afternoon. One, trace your hand and write down everything you can think of that your hand has done recently. And two, stuff your dominant hand in your pocket for a half an hour and do some tasks, whether by yourself or with someone else. But really, in doing so, consider how you might imitate the virtues of the man in today's gospel. This unnamed man who is an icon of gratitude, cooperation, and long-term patience. Amen.